crackle, crackle. Pop, pop.
Our records never die.
Not this record!
Singles, albums, LP records,
phonograph.
Gold records on the wall.
Keep those records playing.
Yeah, this is a jumping little record. I want my jockey to play.
I am a DJ. I am what I play.
Time to play B-sides.
Go ahead, dancing there by the record machine.
You got two turntables and a microphone.
Here goes the last DJ.
In that dusty old pile of vinyl records I got sitting on my floor.
Today on The Vinyl Experience, both sides of Both Sides Now, the backstory of the hit record that made Judy Collins a star and helped propel Elektra to the forefront of the pop world. I'm Paul Cavalcante, and this is The Vinyl Experience.
Goes and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and Junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy
Wildflowers was Judy Collins' 1967 entry into the album world, and she was an old hand at it by 1967, having offered wonderful collections of folk classics, contemporary pop songs, art songs, songs drawn from the Broadway stage, from the American Songbook. She mixed them all together, and she did so with a fine and refined presentation. That was the hallmark of Judy's work at this time. And it was one of the reasons why she kind of elevated pop songs that she championed, be they In My Life by the Beatles, or Sunny Good Street by Donovan, or Bob Dylan's Just Like Tom Thumb's Blues, or A Few Things by Leonard Cohen. Judy Collins was a hit songmaker who seemed to come from the other side of the pop music tracks. The musical mastermind of Wildflowers as arranger was a guy named Joshua Rifkin, who was a conductor and pianist who would shoot to fame just a few years later by introducing almost single-handedly ragtime music and the art of Scott Joplin on Elektra's classical subsidiary label, Nonesuch. But that's getting a little bit ahead of the story. Let's rewind back to 67, early 68. Enter Elektra Records' David Anderley, the guy with the golden ears, the hitmaker who propelled the Doors and other big Elektra label acts to worldwide fame. He understood that there was a great hit record potential in both sides now, and Judy Collins could really bust out of the art song realm and come from jukeboxes and AM radios. But in order for that to happen, maybe the record had to sound a little bit more like jukeboxes and AM radios. And that's precisely the electronic treatment that he gives to the track you just heard, remixed, souped up, boiled down to mono, and pressed on a 45 RPM single. This is the rare hit single version of Both Sides Now, withdrawn after its original release and replaced with the stereo track from the Wildflowers album. But rummage through enough garage sales and you may come upon this original.
Goes and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds.
pianist Joshua Rifkin performing Scott Joplin's music. It would inspire George Roy Hill, making the film The Sting, to use that kind of old-timey, sepia-toned, turn-of-the-century-sounding music as a backdrop for a story that unfolds in Chicago in the 1930s. He could have gone with swing music or big band music, but there was something that had more of a storytelling quality about Joplin. And also, it was relatively unknown at the time. Well, it became a sensation, and Marvin Hamlisch's version from the movie The Sting of the song The Entertainer would become a rare example of a completely arcane and obsolete form of popular music becoming a hit at the advent of the disco era. Imagine that. But Joshua Rifkin was the arranger who had the brilliant idea of using a harpsichord on Judy Collins' version of Joni Mitchell's Both Sides Now. We heard both the original album version and the single remix, put out a year later, 1968. In his tenure with Elektra Records, Joshua Rifkin put together an interesting project called the Baroque Beatles Book, the Baroque Ensemble of the Merseyside Kammermusikgesellschaft, that's what he called it. Joshua Rifkin, conductor and arranger of these melodies that you'll recognize at a time in the 1960s when the Beatles music was being taken very seriously and maybe even considered to be the classical music of its time. Well, let's see how it holds up to this approach.
Thank you. the day begins. Silently closing their bedroom door, leaving the note that she hoped would say more. She goes downstairs to the kitchen, clutching a handkerchief. Quietly turning the back door key, stepping outside, she is free.
We gave her most of our lives,
is leaving,
sacrificed most of our lives.
Oh,
we gave her everything money could buy.
She's standing alone at the top of the stairs. She breaks down and cries to her husband, "Daddy, our baby's gone." Why would she treat us so thoughtlessly? How could she do this to me?
She's
leaving.
Never a thought for ourselves.
Oh,
we struggled hard all our lives to get by.
She's leaving home after living alone for so many years. Friday morning at 9 o'clock, she is far away.
On the Vinyl Experience, the record album that would have already turned the musical world on its ear in the first week of June 1968, just days after its release, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Now, 50 years later, the somewhat controversial remixed version done by George Martin's son, Giles Martin, for the big box set anniversary edition, does some things that kind of correct some long-standing oddities about the way the stereo mix of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, which was put out as a kind of standard album all through the years, stood for all that time. On the mono record, which we heard, for example, She's Leaving Home is very different. It's a lot faster. It's pitched a little higher as a result. It also has a slightly different emotional impact as a result of that. And so in creating a 2017 remix of Sgt. Pepper for this anniversary edition, the mono record was used as a guide and the pitch correction was applied to, for the first time, the stereo version of that track. But we heard the original from a 1967 mono pressing of the album, which again would have been absolutely newsworthy this week 50 years ago, as would some of these songs. This is the landscape that Sgt. Pepper splashed down to. June of 1967. Not a slow month in pop music between Sgt. Pepper, the Monterey Pop Festival, and these songs, which were the sound of radio and jukeboxes all across America. This was, in my humble opinion, the high point in all of American recorded popular music. There was never a more amazing year for pop music than 1967. It's like 1939 in the Hollywood movies. Let me state the case with these songs, all from June of 1967.
Ooh, yeah. You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you love somebody to love? You better find somebody to love. Love.
June 1967, in all of its musical glory on the vinyl experience. These were the hit records of just that month. From Jefferson Airplane to the Association's Ballad of a San Francisco Local Free Spirit called Windy, and by the way, she was a he.
Reaching out to capture a moment. Everyone knows it's windy.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon?
We could float among the stars together, you and I.
For we can.
Just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. Too good to be true.
take my eyes off you.
If I were to say to you that 1 month in 1967, musically, is more interesting than the entire 21st century so far, would you say I'm being mean or just being honest? The super concentration of great pop music during this time was unparalleled. And yes, modern music has gone in different places and we're so much better educated today, so everybody has a touch of class in what they do. Everyone is better informed than these artists that we're listening to who maybe had a smidge of this or that influence, but a whole lot of inspiration came from within. And the originality and authenticity of these songs is what makes them so great. And oh, by the way, they've been Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Frankie Valli, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, Fifth Dimension, Up, Up and Away, The Association, Windy, Jefferson Airplane, Somebody to Love, The Rascals, Groovin', Aretha Franklin, Respect. 1 month in 1967. A year of change on many levels. Here is a very early, very deeply socially conscious song. It could have been a disaster if it was put across disingenuously. It was put across ingenuously, literally, by the ingenue, the 15-year-old Janis Ian.
Now I could understand your tears and your shame.
Two very different young love experiences, both from June of 1967, Stevie Wonder and Janice Ian. To the urban world of adult lives, apartments, rainy nights, TV dinners, and subways. Petula Clark.
Disagree, 'cause to reason is not what you care for. Thank you.
And that's the vinyl experience. Johnny Rivers looks back through a rain-streaked pastel view at 1967 when Sargent's sang a marching tune, as Don McLean would later put it, and so the many pop culture references and the embedding of Sgt. Pepper into our consciousness and culture and the establishment of it as a benchmark, one of many things about 1967 to commend it to our study and deep analysis, and certainly the songs we've been listening to for the past stretch, all from just June of that year when Sgt. Pepper splashed down, and everything changed from that point on. There are more Vinyl Experience shows to discover in the archives of the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM, RTDS.ca, and an entire iHeart station devoted to vinyl, the Vinyl Experience on iHeartRadio. Please check the Vinyl Experience Facebook fan page. Follow me on Twitter. I'm Paul Cavalcante.